If you missed last week, I was able to roll out the carpet at where we are headed for this summer. It's kind of the direction and the places we're going to go, and that's primarily in the gospel, as it should be, primarily in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Last week, we went over some titles about this King of Israel, this Son of God, this Son of Man, and I hope that we will continue. The basis for that motivation actually comes from a text in Revelation, where Jesus is writing to a bunch of churches, and he writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says this: I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. This is our main motivation. Sobering words from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. We would do well to reflect on the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week, I hope it was clear that we will never love whom we don't know. I think if you're honest with yourself, you'd be able to say that. We will not repent. We will not have a change of mind unless Jesus Christ becomes our primary focus. Unless Jesus Christ becomes our primary goal, or the primary prize, the desires of all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Our love should be for Him. To know Jesus Christ and to remember what God has done will shape and will guide how we live our lives. It will. So please open up your Bibles to John chapter 12. Your copy of God's Word, you can find one in the pew Bibles ahead of you, or you've brought your own, I hope. Before we get to our text today, which will be in verses 44 to 50, right at the end, we are going to have a little snapshot of what's been happening so far in John 12 to get us grounded. So at this point, Jesus Christ has finished raising Lazarus. And that was a big sign that God did. And that caused many to believe. Many believed because of this work. But also, it became a stumbling block to some. The chief priests actually sought out to kill Jesus, and they even wanted to kill Lazarus because many believed in him. Many Jews were believing Jesus after that sign. The Pharisees were growing in panic and in anger. And in anger as Christ rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Remember that saying, Hosanna, as many cried out? That is a cry to praise, to save, to the Savior. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King, the great King of Israel. This didn't please those Pharisees and those in high spots. And Jesus would continue to tell of his coming death. He's saying, the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified is now. And later he would say his desire for the Father's name to be glorified. This was Jesus' great desire. And then a voice came from heaven, if you've read your Bibles, and it says in verse 28, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The disbelief of the people caused Jesus at one point to hide himself and depart from them, which is frightening. John then opens up a bit of a narration talking about the glory of Jesus that Isaiah saw in chapter 6. And he's saying that he saw Christ. And even though some authorities actually, it says they believed in him. But guess what happened? They would not confess. They would not confess. They were feared that they would get thrown out of the synagogue. And we have the reason why. We have the reason why they would not do that. It says that man loved the glory that came from man more than the glory that comes from God.
you pray with me? Lord, help us to love and see the glory that comes from you rather from man. Holy Spirit, would you do work amongst us? I cannot save. I cannot change someone, but you can. And you have. So please do so again. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our text, John wants us to know this. Okay, let's read it. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." John wants us to know simply this: Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to save the world. And that might seem kind of obvious to you, and you might say, "I hope you never got paid time and a half to read that. I see that paragraph heading right in my Bible." But that's not enough for us to close our Bibles and to leave for the day. As clear and obvious as it might be, there could be many of you, there could be many who do not believe that to be true. You do not believe that Jesus came to save the world. Or you don't think that the world needs saving. It's possible for you to spend a lot of time wondering, well, what's taking so long? What's taking so long? As we continue to live and struggle in a world that is broken, a world that is sick and desperately wicked, that's not easy. So your faith and your hope and your trust might seem to be slipping a little. And there are some of us who automatically, we see this and then we want to know, well, what are we supposed to do now? Could it be that this is true? I want us to be confident in this theme. Jesus came to save the world. To help us with that today, we're going to look at three main aspects of that work. Three main aspects of this work. The first, in verses 44 to 45, is Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent. The second aspect, in verses 46 and 47, Jesus the light. And the third aspect is Jesus as spokesman. Sent, light, and spokesman. Let's pick things up in verse 44. "And Jesus cried out and said, 'Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but him who sent me.'" Well, this seems to be an abrupt cry in the text. And it really isn't clear if this has happened after Jesus was walking away. Right? He had departed from those that wouldn't believe and hid themselves. I'm not sure. Some commentators suggest that this was maybe the next day. Some have even said that this is a narration from John. I don't believe that to be true, because it says Jesus cried out. There is a purpose here. There is a compassion in this cry. So if you were to read the rest of John and you came back, and you would say, this is the last of Jesus' public teaching. This is the last. Even though there's a few more chapters left in John, this is the last of his public teaching. Primarily after this, he's with his disciples. He's walking with them. And then after that, he's betrayed. And then after that, he's tried. And after that, he's crucified on the cross. He died and was buried and he rose. Jesus was resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. Jesus came to save the world. Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. So if we're just kind of isolating that statement for what it is, you're thinking, okay, Jesus, this whole time, you're telling people to follow you, right? He's saying, follow me. Come and see. Leave behind the world. Leave behind, in some cases, your own life and your family and money and everything else. And now he's saying, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. What Jesus is saying here is whoever believes in me believes in him who sent me. Believe not only in me or not ultimately in me, but in him who sent me. Okay? That's the language. Jesus was sent. And who is the one that sent Jesus? 1 John 4:14. Wonderful to memorize the word of God. This might be one of the first memory verses. When I was teaching Awana, all these kids were memorizing more verses than I was. But I love this. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Put some of those to memory. Jesus would tell his disciples in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Right? Believe in God. Believe also in me. So the Godhead, the Trinity, is on display. The Son and the Father and their unity. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you're actually believing in God. If you believe in me, you're actually believing in God. If you're a Christian today, you have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you believed it. And, well, that's because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit determined it. And caused you to do that. Believe in me, believe also in him who sent me. Jesus being sent was determined by the Godhead. Jesus was commissioned and commanded and sent to save the world. Do you see the love of God in that statement? Do you see the love of God in this statement? Jesus came to save the world. Why was Jesus sent? These are questions that might come up in our minds, kids. Why was Jesus sent? He came to restore what was lost. Okay, what was lost in Adam, who brought sin into the world by disobedience to God's command. Okay, in Adam, all die. All. That's you and me and sweet little Oma down the street. We are evil, born in sin. You don't need me to tell you that. You know that. Be honest with yourself. Do all of my thoughts, does all of my life, and the way that I live come close to the holiness of God? They don't. Be holy, because I am holy. The standard is perfection. And here's the thing, we try to get up that mountain. But you can't. Jesus did, and he was sent to do so. Death enters the world now, it is cursed. All have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ, Jesus, the one who was sent in Christ, in Adam all die, in Christ all be made alive. All be made alive. The true and better Adam. Jesus says in John 5, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He is passed through death. Jesus came to save the world, and he was sent. Jesus, the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one God. One God. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existing. Each member of the Trinity is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I get myself a little bit confused when I think about the Trinity too much, and by no means am I an expert. But here's the thing. Here's the huge amount of faith that we need to believe in the Trinity. But this is how God's revealed himself in his word over and over and over again. So we can trust him. We can trust an understanding that is far greater than our own. We can trust him. We can see him and believe in him. Jesus himself, in the words of Peter, he was foreknown, right? Before the foundation of the world and was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you who, through him, are believers in God. Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in who? In God. You want to know God? Know Jesus. It's through him you believe in God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. To believe Jesus is to believe God. And praise God, Jesus was sent to save the world. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me, Jesus says in verse 45. At first glance, we have another problem. No one has ever seen God. No one can see God and live. So what are we talking about here, John? Son and Father, one God. At one point, the disciple Philip, you remember what he said to Jesus? He says, show us the Father and it is enough. And what does Jesus say? I love the patience of our Lord for Philip, for the disciples. But how about, I love the Lord's patience for me. For me. He says this, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Have you been coming to church so long? And hearing the gospel so many times? And not believed? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. That is to put all of your trust in him and in his righteousness and in his person and in his work. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you've sinned before the holy God and acknowledge that that sin has separated you from God. And you're not living a life of peace with God. And then trust Jesus. Trust Jesus, children. He has lived a life that is pleasing and perfect. Jesus came to save the world. See Jesus in this way. Believe by faith. See and believe in God. And Christian, have you been hearing sermons and reading your Bible so long that you don't know Jesus very well? Have you lost sight of him? Christian, have you abandoned the love you had? Repent and return to him. The Bible says no one has ever seen God. The only one himself, God, who is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Don't do anything else today, but try to know God and to know Jesus, please. It's worth saying you cannot know God without knowing Jesus. Mormons, you're not saints in this day or any latter day because you don't know Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses, you're not actually real witnesses of Jehovah because you don't know Jesus. Muslims, Allah is not God because you don't know Jesus. Modalists, skeptics, atheists, please try again. You missed it. You've missed it. you don't know Jesus, you haven't seen God who's revealed himself in Jesus Christ, you haven't seen God who reveals himself by the Holy Spirit in this Holy Scriptures. Have you ever thanked God for the Trinity? Just thanked him and thought about it for a second. Have you taken the time to thank the Father for his great love, sending the Son to redeem you? Have you ever thanked Jesus for leaving the perfect fellowship, the perfect unity? For him for condescending, leaving that and then coming here to die on the cross as a payment for your sins? Have you ever thanked God? When's the last time you thanked the Holy Spirit for opening up your eyes to see him? This is Jesus. And to believe in him. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with Jesus Christ. We cannot stop reading this book. We cannot stop reading the... Did you read the book this week? Did you read the book this week? I hope that you did. What are you seeking? That was last week, right? We cannot stop reading this book. Jesus came to save the world. He was sent. Let's now look at the second aspect. Jesus is light. Verse 46. It says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Well, this is really good news. Jesus comes into the world so that people who are steeped in moral darkness, okay, that's a pretty big thing, even worse than that, spiritual darkness, dead because of sin, the light now shines. God sends Jesus to be light. This is the light of God. Jesus is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. Not only is Jesus the light of God, but if you're with him, if you're one of his, well, he actually makes you light as well. He makes you light as well. People are searching high and low, wondering what the will of God is. Here's the will of God. Earlier in John 12, Jesus, he says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Okay? While you have the light, believe in the light that you might become sons of light. All right, that's the will of God. God loves to use light and darkness. Going all the way back to Genesis, Jesus is light. By believing in him, you can be a reflection of that light. Another thing to consider, do you like stumbling around in darkness? And that's the world, isn't it? It's just stumbling around over the same old things. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And this is so much worse than I'm stumbling around. The boys are downstairs and there's Lego everywhere. So I have to go down there. You step on a piece of Lego. That hurts. Stumbling around in the darkness. Boys, pick it up. This is worse though. This is worse. People are stumbling around right now. They're stumbling around and they're waking up face to face with eternal hell, eternal judgment. Do you want to know this God who came to rescue you from eternal torment? I hope you do. The Bible says that as sinners, we love darkness. We love darkness because we think it can hide our sin. Light exposes, light eradicates sin and darkness. Praise God. A line from one song that I was listening to this week. Who else could whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. Who else could whisper and darkness trembles? Christian, when is this going to get real for you? When is this going to get real for you? Some of you are stumbling around and it makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. You play with sin and you just coast along in your life, ho-hum. I can resist the devil pretty much whenever I feel like it. That's not a problem. When the temptations come, I'll be fine. Wake up. Wake up. Walk in the light as he is in the light. This is what you're told to do. Okay? So some of our kids, they learn to walk, and this is the most confusing thing to me. They could totally walk and get from point A to point B very fast. And then all of a sudden, they started to crawl once in a while. And I'm looking at the kids and thinking, what are you doing? Why are you crawling? You can walk. Christian, you can walk. No more stumbling around in darkness. Actually, remember this, Christian. You have been transferred from a domain of darkness to a kingdom of light. To a kingdom of light. Praise God. Live and act like that, okay? Let's live and act like that. And let's help one another. Jesus sent into the dark world so that sinners would not remain in darkness. I love that. What a Savior. In Him was life, it says, and the life was light. The light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ brings light and life into this world. And we would do really well to remember Jesus Christ took the darkness of God's judgment on the cross. He took all of that sin and evil. He is the light of salvation. Praise the Lord. Jesus came to save the world. I hope that doesn't get boring for you to hear. The sun certainly does bring life, doesn't it? It's shining bright today. It brings light and life. I'm thankful for it. But you know, the sun is not eternal. One day, the sun will shine for the last time. Thought about that. Jesus Christ is everlasting. The sun shines for all eternity. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So it was prophesied that Jewish people actually wouldn't believe in him. We sang from Isaiah 53. Sang from that. That's a big one. Right? Even though Jesus, they would hear his words for 3 years. Public ministry. They would not trust it and they would not obey his word. The Lord told Isaiah that and he told many others. Now let's be clear. When Jesus says he did not come to judge the world, but to save the world, that's true. His first coming, Jesus' first coming here, primarily was to save. Primarily was to save. But there is a second coming. There is a day of reckoning. There is a day of reckoning. And we're supposed to be watching for that, Christian. Don't stumble around in darkness. Stay in the light so you can see when the true light comes to judge the world and you'll welcome him. But Jesus is coming back to return as judge. He says here, though, he came to save the world. So thinking of Noah a lot this week, all right? So Noah spent a long time preaching righteousness, right? And he also spent a long time building this ark. Over 100 years. What happened? A few people and some animals were saved. All right? What happened to everyone else? They were destroyed. From top to bottom of the globe, completely destroyed. They did not listen to Noah. They stumbled around in darkness. They forgot God. Every inclination of their heart was evil continually. That judgment came. That ark door closed. No one could get in and they were kept safe. The greater ark, the Savior from judgment is Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. That door is still open. That door is still open right now. Jesus in salvation, it is available to you. Jesus says, come without money. Come and see. Come to me, sinner. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, come to me, you who are broken. Bring that baggage. Bring that filth. I have the righteousness you need to enter heaven. I have the clean robes, and I have some for you. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus is the true light, which gives light to everyone. That was coming into the world, John 1:9. Maybe you're not getting on the ark because you don't think you can hold the weight of your sin. The weight of your sin held Jesus on the cross. It can hold you. The light of Christ is proof of that. So accept this offer as a free gift. This offer of salvation. How could God ever love me that much, you might say. Sometimes we think that. How could God ever love me that much? Right in our sin, we stumbled around a bit. We lost sight of him. How could God ever love me that much? Well, as Pastor Charles has reminded us from this pulpit before and reminded me once this week, he loves you because he loves you. Praise. He loves you because he set his love on you. You don't get to tell God who he sets his love on or not. So stop doing that, even to yourself. He set his love on you before the foundation of the world. The light of Christ is proof of that. Deanie, he set his love on you. Nathan, he set his love on you. Lazar. The very presence of God, the radiance of the Father, shining his light, Jesus Christ. See him, believe him in this way. Believe his words. Flee from the judgment to come. Children, flee. Come to the light. As cliche as that sounds, come to the light. Come to the light. Bible study notes say this: disobedience alone results in wrath. Faith alone rests in salvation. Disobedience results in wrath. Faith alone rests in salvation. And the basis for God's judgment is the just sentence for sin. And the basis for our salvation is God's grace towards those who put their faith in the Son's provision for them. This is the grace of God. The one who believes the Son has eternal life. The one who rejects the Son will not see life. But God's wrath remains on him. Jesus came to save the world. He was sent. He is light. He is a spokesman. Verse 48. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. So when the judgment comes, there will be a separation. There will be separation of wheat and tares, goats and sheep, believers and unbelievers, those who reject Jesus on one side. Well, cast into the lake of fire with all those who hate God and those who by God's grace love him and who are rescued by him and who want to be with him will be. So Jesus is saying here, the words that he spoke, the gospel, that's going to judge on the last day. So he came into the world as light. He was sent to rescue people. Right? People rejected God. I spent a few months this week a little bit terrified, actually, to preach this because a few minutes this week because I really felt the weight of the text. I realized that many will believe, and I prayed that all would actually believe today, that all of you would, but chances are, well, you could say, or there is the chance right now that someone will reject these words, will reject Jesus Christ. That is a possibility, and God's word will not return to him void. And sometimes we say that, but we don't know to the two parts. One it's going to bring him glory, or the other one condemnation. It will result. It will either soften your heart. Okay, the gospel is either going to soften your heart today, Or harden. That's scary for me. The Jews needed something that was greater than Moses. They needed something that was greater than Abraham. That wasn't enough. Their rejection of the words that Jesus spoke will testify against them. And hear me. Every time your mom and dad, every time your grandma and grandpa, every time your husband or your wife or an evangelist or a pastor says something of Christ and says something of the gospel, on that day it will be laid bare. And it will be public evidence. And your soul will be judged. Jesus came to save the world because a final judgment is coming. Would you turn with your Bibles to Revelation 20? Revelation 20, verse 11. I want to get us here. Just if you need to close your eyes, good, or read along with me or listen. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus came to save the world. Luke 10 says this, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. So it's Jesus talking to his people, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. We must keep preaching the gospel. We must keep praying for the Spirit to do that work. Don't feel bad. Praying, preaching, like, let's, don't feel bad about if you haven't gotten to share the gospel with someone. I would say get up and go and do that. But please just keep praying. Be praying for yourself and for others. And so Jesus is the spokesman. He is this great prophet, right, that we sang about. He was sent to the world to speak the very words of God. And Jesus was fully obedient to the Father. We don't know a great deal of obedience in that way. But he was. He is the promised prophet in Deuteronomy 18. So Moses says, listen what Moses says. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. It is to him that you should listen. All right, this is what the Lord says. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. All right? The words Jesus speaks, the spokesman, are the words of God, and you will be required of them. Verse 49 shows us the words of Jesus were the words that the Father commanded him to speak. I hope you see that. The words were and are still a testimony. In fact, I'm wondering if people would understand this. This is an indictment against the Jews in that time. But also us, now, those of us who don't believe, they will be. They are a testimony. The words he speaks, that's God's word. Don't come with the option of ignoring. That's not how this works, actually. It is the gospel. The gospel is a command. The gospel is a command from God. So to believe this is eternal life. To believe the gospel is eternal life. The word that became flesh has spoken, and by the Holy Spirit still speaks through his word in order for you to believe and to keep believing. Do we love the word of God? Do we love the word of God? This is the word that showed us the one that saved us, that sanctifies us. Abide with this word. Abide in the love of God. Abide in the love of Christ. Jesus says, abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you. That my joy, listen, Jesus, do you think he has a lot of joy? My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. All right, verse 50. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So it can happen sometimes. I know this to be true. God the Father can sort of be seen as an angry God. Okay? Just always kind of upset because, well, Cliff, you haven't kept the law and you haven't kept my commandments. And I get pretty down when I start comparing myself with others, and I start expecting from myself things that God doesn't expect. All right? We need to stop doing that. Now, I let guilt and I let shame and I let them creep in, and I picture God just burning with anger. And I just try to hide away. That's what I do. Please think of the great love, the great lengths that the Father has for you. Dear Christian, if you tend to think of Jesus as being the mediator, which he is. But if you think that Jesus is just the love and the Father is just angry, well, Jesus says right here, I say as the Father has told me. These words are commanded by the Father. He told Jesus what to say. He told Jesus what to say. And Jesus, perfect obedience, said it. No more, no less. The Father commanded eternal life for you, if you believe. And he went through great lengths so you could receive it. To be with him. To be in his family. To be his special possession. God is our special possession in a sense. Christian, you are a special possession. It was his will to crush his son in order to make that happen. Who else could rescue me from failing? Who else could offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God. Come to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Return to him. Confess your sins and praise him, for his steadfast love endures forever. There is much more to be said. Much more of Jesus Christ who came to save the world. I sincerely hope that you found a little bit more joy in the one who came. The one who was sent by God on a divine mission to rescue people who were lost and stumbling around. Not just people, enemies. The light of God has come, the true salvation. Jesus Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many. For all who would believe in this, the only Son of God, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. The spokesman has come in perfect solidarity with God. Jesus, truly God and truly man. See now his nail-pierced hands who died on your behalf so that you could live. Obedient to the will of the Father, will you reject this offer of salvation? Jesus came to save the world. One theologian, the Swiss reformer, said this. The summary of the gospel is that our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, has revealed the will of his heavenly Father to us, and with his innocence has redeemed us from death and has reconciled us with God. Therefore, Christ is the only way to salvation for all those who have been, are, and will be. Once again, we are reminded from the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. Lord God, we are overwhelmed at your goodness. We are once again on our knees, or we should be, perplexed and humbled at this great love and work. Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you. Thank you for coming to rescue us. Thank you for sending the true Savior. Thank you for sending the true light and the true Word. Work in us, even as we continue to praise you this morning. Amen.